Third John, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved children of God, I wish, I desire, above all things, that you will prosper. We get hung up when people start talking about a prosperity ministry. Maybe sometimes we just don't balance the thing right. Maybe sometimes we go a little bit overboard when everything becomes about money in the church and everything is about God's going to bless you and everything becomes, you know, you should have this and God wants to do this. Everybody will not be rich.
Have mercy, Jesus.
Amen.
How much money you have has nothing to do with whether or not God loves you.
Amen. Right.
Some people are assigned to have money. Some people are not assigned to have money. The problem with having money is that money will make you start trusting it.
Well, it is. Right now.
Oh, if I just had just a little bit more money, everything would be all right. No, if you had a little bit more money, you have a different set of troubles.
Amen.
Troubles is just going to be there. And so what we have to learn is because troubles are going to always be there, we have to learn how to live with troubles. That is, sometimes we say about life that life is a roller coaster. I have some ups and some downs and some ups and some downs. I truly would say this about life is that life is like a railroad track. I can be happy and sad in the same moment. I can look over here and say, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. And I can look over here and say, I know what God has done. And they're going at the same time. It's what you look at, that's what you feed. What I feed will always grow. And so what God wants us to feed is our faith. Because what determines whether or not you are wealthy or not is your relationship with God. Now, notice I said wealthy or prosperity. I'm not talking about money. Because you can have money and your spirit is broken and it doesn't help. If you don't believe it, be in a relationship or let something happen and you get hit the wrong way, your accounts can be fine. But if your heart and your emotions is drained, it's not a good day.
That's right.
And so what God wants us to begin to do is to know that He's God every day. And so we come to church, and when we come to worship God, what we come to do is to be in His presence, and we declare things. To declare something is to stand on God's word, is to say to God, you promised this. We're in a covenant agreement, and you got to do this. So I declare it because by right, by birth, me being born again, I'm entitled to what you have, Daddy. And Daddy is saying, yeah, you're entitled to it, but you won't see the manifestation of it until you begin to walk by faith.
All right, man.
Now, if you look at what you're going through, you'll get messed up.
Amen.
You'll always sink if you start looking at what you're going through. Stop looking at your checkbook. Because your checkbook is not you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise.
All right. Have mercy, Jesus.
Stop looking at your credit report because your credit report is not you. That may be the result of some things that you've done and experienced in life, but you're still a child of God.
That's right.
I'm glad God doesn't need credit in order to bless me. I'm glad God doesn't need a resume in order to bless me. I'm glad when God says today is the day of favor in your life, all the insecurities, all the inabilities, God jumps right over that foolishness and says, here's your place for blessing. You ever experienced God when when you know that where you are, you don't belong to be there, but where you are, somehow God pushed you there because God had a plan for your life. And in spite of what you've been through, you know that you didn't do it. Nobody did it but God. And so as you come to church and you worship, and as your spirit is uplifted, he says, I wish above all things. That you would prosper.
Yes, Lord.
Not I wish above all things that you would sing and preach and do this. No, he says prosper. So what he does is he takes the sermon to the marketplace. Prosperity is where you make your living. He says, in essence, what kind of person are you at work?
All right now.
The problem that we have is we're one person in worship and somebody else on the work day. So we're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And we wonder why people don't allow us to minister to them because they don't know which one of us is talking that day. So you follow me, you come to church, and I'm worshiping. And I'm just in the spirit, and you catch me on Friday at work, and I let you have it. And then they say about you, now that person always going to church. And see, they don't know which one of you is really showing up right now. And so what we have to do is to understand that our job, our work, is our ministry. And so what God did was God was assigning you to a place. He assigned you to that place of work. Not for a paycheck. Because the truth of the matter is, before you got that job and had a paycheck, he still was meeting all your needs.
Right.
So it can't be about a paycheck.
That's right.
Because you've been unemployed.
Right.
And you've been underemployed.
Right.
And God still met your needs.
Yes,
he didn't have to give you a job to give you money.
Right.
So it can't be about money. It must be about ministry. And so if it's about ministry, what we have to understand is that when we go to, quote, work, God is saying, now you go preach your sermon. Now, when you preach in sermons, sometimes people will do things to distract you.
Yeah.
Like they'll fall asleep over here, or they'll talk over there.
Yeah.
And so it's a bunch of distractions. When you go to work and everything don't go well, it's just distractions. But you still got to preach the sermon. I'm not talking about words. I'm now talking about your works, your lifestyle. When folk at work mess you up and get on your nerves, what do you do? What instantly come out of you?
All right now.
Are you still worshiping?
All right now.
All right. Or this is work. They'll understand. Because my boss is crazy. And God is saying, but this boss, it's not crazy. And this boss assigned you there because this boss want to save everybody that is there. And in order for me to do that, he says, I need a willing vessel, and that's where you come in. And so what he charges you with, he says, I wish above all things that you'll prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So you come to church to get your soul saved, and he says, I want you to prosper just like your soul is being saved. I want you to have the same thirst for work, for marketplace ministry, as you have for going to church. When you come to church, you expect something from God. When you come to church, you pray and you say, God, I declare this, I expect this, God do this, and God guide me here, and God do this thing, and do that thing, and then you go to work on Monday, and you say, well, whatever the boss says. You got to understand, you are the boss.
All right.
You got to understand there's someone inside of you that is speaking, guiding, directing you, and what God is placing in your spirit is so that you can touch someone, lead somebody to Christ. That's why you're there. When you begin to look beyond your paycheck and see your ministry, the money will come, and the Bible declares your gift will make room for you. Your gift will take you before good men. And while everybody else is trying to redo their resume and you seeking after God, God is saying, because now you're seeking after me, I'll put you in a place where you got to be promoted. You have to be promoted because that's my will in your life. You gotta let go in order for You've got to let go in order for God to promote you. God is tired of fighting with us for us. He has a blessing for us, but in order for us to receive the blessing, we have to allow God to be God.
Yes.
And so every day He wakes you up.
Thank you.
He allows you to go to work.
Yes.
And you're driving to work and you're complaining on your way to work. Haven't even started yet. You already complained. And when you pull up there, then you start complaining because you know, now if they say today what they said to me on yesterday, it's going to be on this morning. And I'm telling you, I ain't going to put up with it today. I ain't going to take it today. And then you go inside of your place of employment and you're ready to fight.
All right, now.
I'll squeeze that.
And Sister Jones had a bad night. So Sister Jones wants to talk because she needs prayer. Her child is in trouble. Real stuff. The old foolishness that you're dealing with really ain't about nothing. Somebody got the same dress you have. Somebody don't like what you wear. That's nothing. But this person, Sister Jones, is going through something. And she sees you and remembers that you said that you are a Christian. And if you really are, then it looks like she should be able to come and talk to you. It looks like she should be able to receive a word and love from you. And so even though you're in the marketplace, even though you have restrictions, you can't spend 8 hours praying, I understand. But that doesn't mean you don't take a break. And the same 15-minute smoke break you have is the same 15-minute prayer break you can have. You see, prayer still works even in the workplace. As a matter of fact, the whole thing that's really holding it together is your prayer. So God assigned you there, and so because He assigned you there, He can't allow destruction to come because you're there. You don't know who you are. If you knew who you are, as much hell as folk put you through, you better begin to praise God. Because if you move me, this whole place gone. You gotta know that you gotta pray and employ it right here. You gotta thank God that I'm assigned to this place. Because I'm the reason that the prophets are coming. Because I'm praying for you, even though you acting crazy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to prosper. Now, when he talks about prosperity as it relates to the marketplace, what he's dealing with is an increase. Not just an increase where your bills are paid. Anybody can go to work and get enough money just to pay their bills. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have an increase. An increase in prosperity happens when you have enough to pay your bills and pay somebody else's bills. And even if they don't pay you back, that's all right. You didn't hurt me because you didn't pay me back. I just planted a seed. So just because you didn't give it back, God still is going to give it back. So I'm not worried about it. See, you got to understand prosperity is when God puts you in a place and say, now look at my vessel right here. I can put some stuff through them, and they're not going to try to hold on. They're going to understand that they are a vessel, and what a vessel does is just shoot stuff through. And as you shoot something through a vessel, the vessel has to retain some things. You don't have to watch your own checkbook. You don't have to take care of your own stuff. You just have to watch God do it for you. And you see, what God is always trying to do is trying to increase your faith, because it takes faith to please God. Not more money, not a better resume. It takes faith. When God says you have the faith that is necessary, or the faith that is of the grain of a mustard seed, He says, now I can put you in a place because now I can trust you even in the marketplace. When God says I can trust you in the marketplace, I don't care about the backbiters and the hell raisers that come up against you. When God says promotion, promotion is yours. Can't nobody stop you from getting promoted. See, that's why people always look around and say, well, how did she get promoted? How did he get promoted? Because I got the favor of God. That's how I got it. See, what they thought you were going to say is, oh, here's my resume, and I trained here, and I went to school here. No, baby, that ain't got nothing to do with it. What it's all about is I know somebody that can open doors even when man think that he has shut them. I know somebody that loved me in spite of my mistakes. I know somebody that gives me mercy daily. I know somebody who says even when you fall, just get right back up. I know somebody, even when I'm going through something and I see no narrow way out. I know somebody who says that they are the light of the world, and all God wants us to do is just to relax.
Yes.
Just relax.
Jesus.
But you don't understand what I'm going through at work. You want me to relax in this foolishness? You want me to relax right here?
Yes.
Come on, right here. Do you know what they threatened to do? Do you know what this one tried to do? Uh-huh. But relax.
Yes, Lord.
But relax.
Yes, Lord.
God won't get them like I'll get them. See, you think vengeance is really yours. Whatever you can do to someone, they can recover. But when vengeance is mine, says the Lord, no. See, God puts you in a place not so that you can ask for vengeance. God puts you in a place where you can show His love. But I'm right, and they wrong. Doesn't matter. Because He was right, and we were wrong, and He still went to the cross. Right and wrong has nothing to do with it. It's about love. For God so loved the world that He gave. And you see, the thing about that is that when you love someone, it requires you to give.
Yes.
Even if they misuse it, even if they hurt you, you still have to give.
That's right.
Even when you don't feel like giving, you still have to give. You see, love becomes your seed. And any farmer will tell you that until you plant something, a seed in the ground, you can't expect a harvest. And so in the midst of going through something, God is saying, take all of that stuff that you're going through and use the seed of love and plant it. In other words, He says, kill it. You may have the right to do something, but He says, kill it. And when you let go of it and it dies, then you see love coming up. And when love comes up, love covers a multitude of sin. And even though that person tried to do something to you, tried to hurt you, you're not concerned about that. What you're concerned about is I got to show love, the same kind of love that God has given me. And so if I'm showing that not just in worship, but also when I am during the work day or at my place of work, that's when people really are looking at you. You see, when you come to church, everybody in church, basically, is believers. But when you go to work, people don't want to hear that Jesus stuff.
Right.
But I wonder, do you keep talking?
All right.
Amen.
I wonder, do you keep telling it?
Yes, Lord.
You see, God is alive.
Yes, He is.
And just like God is in your worship, He wants to be in your workplace.
Yes.
We have to understand, and I want you to walk away with this one thing tonight, if nothing else. And that is, I want us to begin to understand that where we work, that is the ministry that is assigned to us. God wasn't kidding with you. And He didn't feel sorry for you and gave you that job.
All right, now.
He assigned you there for a purpose.
Right.
And what if you don't like anybody that you work with? Great, then you're in the right place. And the truth of the matter is, they probably don't like you. And the truth of the matter is, God perhaps assigned you there because the Bible declares iron sharpens
iron.
And so most of the time, what you don't like is a reflection of you. And so the people that you don't like, the cubicle next to you, sometimes just look in the mirror and say, is that me? Maybe that's why God hasn't given me a promotion. Maybe that's why I'm still here, because God is working on me. Now, you can say whatever you like to say about somebody else, but God knows the heart of a man or woman. And so God sometimes will drop us off in a place and say, let me deal with you. And so we always want God to sick somebody else. And God is saying, no, baby, I need to spend some time with you. And so God treats treats you like wine and he puts you in a press and he allows you to ferment. That is, God takes you through a process because what he's trying to do is trying to give you a better spirit about yourself. And what God is trying to do is trying to bring out the very best in you. But in order for the best to come out of you, God has to deal with you a little while longer. And so God puts us in a fire and he says, here's the process of purification. So the process of purification is that God allows the fires of life to come upon us or to attack us. And as things in life get hot, situations get hot in life, God is saying, but I'm just burning off a little lime. I'm just burning off a little backbiting. I'm just burning all these things out of us that we so clearly saw in somebody else. Because God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to increase. God wants to put you in a place of overflow. And he wants to do that because everybody is not as strong as you are. See, that's why people sometimes call you and lean on you and depend on you, because they know that they have a praying partner in you. Because somebody's faith is not where your faith is, doesn't make them a bad person. It just means that God is dealing with you and God can entrust you to the stewardship of souls. So we need to begin to thank God that somebody sees something in us to pick up the phone, to call you and say, will you pray with me? Or what should I do? People are asking you for guidance because they look at your life not from your place of worship, but from your workplace, and they see, in spite of what you're going through, somehow this crazy joker keep coming out of this thing. I better find out what God they serving. I better find out about their faith. Because so many things that we go through in life, and in spite of everything that we go through, you're still standing. You're still standing. Not only are you standing, your faith is increased. Everything that you've gone through. The song says, look what the Lord has done. Yet God has did amazing things in and through you. But as you look at what God has done, I want you to look at where you came from. Look at the stuff that you've been through in life. Look at the obstacles that you've been through. Look at the things that's been against you. And somehow you found the strength, the inner strength through the Holy Spirit to still come through. And not only did you come through, but you have more today than you had on yesterday, so you're still prospering in the Lord. You see, when you begin to prosper in the Lord, it makes no difference who come against you. They can't take your prosperity away from you, because even if you have a bad day, you still got 15 things that you still need to praise God for, because God has assigned you to a particular place. And because God has assigned you to a particular place, you need to understand that your worship and your workplace is the same God. So just as you come to church, in closing, and you come to church and say, I came, I'm going to get my worship on. When you go to work, say, I'm still going to get my worship on.
That's right.
I'm still going to get my worship on. You tell me not to pray, you may not hear my prayer. That's all right. You don't need to hear what I got to say anyway. Because, you know, sometimes people hear your prayers and they begin to block it, or at least try to. Sometimes that's our issue, is that we talk too much. We tell Satan where we're going before we get there. Every now and then you need to shut up, wait to God do it, then look back and tell Satan, now that's what I started to tell you last week, and you can't do nothing because the house is already there, the car is already there, the job is already there, the relationship is already there. Look at what God has done in your life. Won't God make a way out of no way? Won't God bring you through some stuff? Won't God open doors that man is shut? Ain't God is a good God, excuse my English, but he is so good. And when you get excited about how good God is, and sometimes you want to be cute, want to use the right word, oh, forget it. God, you just good anyway. And maybe broken English, but you know you just good anyway. And I just thank you, Lord. And isn't it good when you go to God, you don't have to dress it up, just tell him what's on your mind. I may tell him a word or two, but God knows everything. I'm glad I serve a God that through the Holy Spirit, he intercedes and he prays for me even when I don't know what to pray. I'm glad when I begin to go through something, and even if I can't say anything, but Lord, have mercy. God knows what the mercy is that I need in my life. You ought to tell God, sometimes have mercy upon me. He knows your mercy. Just tell him have mercy. He knows what you're going through. Let us stand tonight as we conclude in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
You begin to go through something. You came tonight asking God, expecting God for something. Whatever it is that you're asking God, expecting God for. Listen, while you're in the atmosphere, in a place of worship, touch and agree with somebody. Touch somebody's hand. Just touch somebody. Touch somebody. Touch somebody. Touch somebody tonight. Just touch somebody. And the Bible declares, where two or three is gathered together in my name, Jesus says, I'm in the midst. I need for you to understand this about the hand that you hold it. I need for you to understand God is in there. I need for you to understand power is in there. I need for you to understand the answer to your prayer is in the person hand. That's why they came. God needed you to touch somebody tonight. God needed you to touch somebody tonight. God needed somebody to believe with you. That crazy thing that you stay up night and say, no, that won't happen. God is saying, if you believe me, it will happen. If you believe me, it will come to pass. Tell God what you need tonight.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Tell God what you need tonight. As you touch and agree with somebody tonight, thank you, Lord. As you touch and agree tonight with somebody, know this. They're praying in the spirit for you. They're touching and agreeing with you. They're agreeing with you right now that God is going to do that job thing. He's going to do that healing thing. He's going to do that relationship thing. He's going to do that finance thing. He's going to do that peace thing. He's going to do that mercy thing. He's going to do that salvation thing. He's going to do that protection thing. Whatever it is that you need.
Oh, yeah.
God, we're not going to pray tonight and ask you to do anything. We're going to declare the manifestation. It's already done. I want to see it. It's all, the job is already there. I want to see it. The healing is already there. I want to feel it. Manifest. Show yourself, Lord. I wish above all things that you will prosper,
yes, Lord,
and be in good health. Father God, I speak tonight prosperity in this place. The total package. Total package. Even Lord, as we come and we try to increase our faith and our spirit, our soul, increase us, Lord. Enlarge our territory. Enlarge our territory. Enlarge our territory. Enlarge our territory. Father God, give us, Lord, right now, Lord, give us fruit that we didn't plant. Give us vineyards that we didn't harvest. Give us stuff right now, Lord, that we don't even deserve. Just bless us anyway. Bless us because we're your children. Bless us because your amazing grace. Bless us because you love us, Lord. As we touch and agree tonight, Father God, we just want to say we love you. And we declare your word. And we expect it. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.